I'd ask you to please turn with me to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1 and verse 79. The Gospel of Luke and chapter 1 and verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Well, this text before us this evening is pointing us to the wonderful work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the only one who can truly give light to those that sit in darkness, spiritually speaking. Now, I want to do something a little different this evening. I want to go back a few years to 2010 and consider, by way of a 21st century parable, to illustrate this text, the much publicized rescue of the miners in Chile. This was an event that gripped the world, and evidently it is now recorded that over 1 billion viewers watched this rescue take place live. Now, as you know, the buried men there in that mine were known as the 33. They were trapped 700 meters, that is 2,300 feet underground, and about 5 kilometers, that's about 3 miles from the mine's entrance. And the crew there, the mixed crew of experienced miners and technical support personnel, were all working underground there, and they were trapped, but survived, remarkably, miraculously, a record 69 days deep underground before their rescue. Now, this evening, then, I want to look at this text, which is very appropriate for this time of the year, and then illustrate this event, this 21st century parable, to show to us the depth, something of the depth of what is found for us in this verse, as it links to, undoubtedly, to the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. So what do we mean then by what we call a parable? Well, by this I mean an event which reminds us powerfully and poignantly of vital truths about God's salvation. In God's great work of salvation, he sent his only beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this dark world, this sinful world, on a rescue mission. A man by nature is in the darkness of his sin and rebellion against God. And by nature we are living in spiritual darkness and we are trapped. We cannot rescue ourselves. We're in this darkness. And the greatest need for us this evening is to be delivered from darkness into life. And without such a deliverance, we will die in our sin, trapped in spiritual darkness of sin. We are helpless to save ourselves in and of our own strength and wisdom and righteousness. We are totally dependent upon the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're totally dependent upon what God can do for us, not what we can do for God. So it was that God, in his great love, sent his Son Jesus Christ to rescue sinners and deliver them from the pit of darkness into his marvelous light and life. It's amazing to consider how God, in the person of Jesus Christ, entered into our darkness to deliver us. He did everything that was needed personally to ensure deliverance from darkness to all who trust in him. He lived a perfect life, showing the absolute difference between darkness and light. And he fulfilled God's law perfectly. He preached a message of warning and hope in both word and action. He was the supreme teacher in the world. And he showed that this life is a very serious matter for each one of us. He warned about the fragility of our lives. We do not know, he warns us, what an hour or a day may bring. And in the midst of our life, uncertainty, we have a great need. Above all, we have a need of security. And to have any sense of security this evening, we need to know that we are at peace with God. We need to know that we are forgiven by God. And so it was that Jesus Christ has come down into this sin-sick world for the greatest rescue mission this world has ever known. And he proved his sincere love for needy sinners like us by going to Calvary to be crucified on a cross. And there he bore the punishment from God for the guilt of sin and all its pollution on behalf of all those that trust in him. And he gave his life, dying upon the cross, offering himself as the perfect sacrifice, and thereby satisfied God's justice. So here's the one who has come to give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We are in the darkness of our sin by nature. We're trapped, like those miners, unable to save ourselves. And we need absolutely this Savior to rescue us. And Jesus Christ is that very Savior. He's all sufficient to meet the deliverance needs of the very worst of sinners. So I want to demonstrate this to you this evening further by using this 21st century parable as a voice to us. It so vividly illustrates the wonderful rescue and the change that salvation makes in our lives. What the Lord Jesus Christ does for needy sinners, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. He is described in the previous verse as the day spring on high, which hath visited us. Well, first of all, then, sitting in the darkness, sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, these words then are such a powerful description of the darkness and danger of our situation, our condition by nature, sitting in the darkness. It means that we are living in the darkness of sin. We are estranged from God, without hope in the world, living under the condemnation of God's law, a just law that towers above us in all its purity against sin. By nature, we don't care enough about the darkness of sin. It becomes a way of life to us. We embrace this darkness by nature, and we become careless about the danger that we are in. Evidently, if we refer then to this 21st century parable of the Chilean miners, the owners of this mine evidently were careless of the danger. And the miners themselves were somewhat careless, inasmuch they understood something of the risk, and they were given double pay to enter into the danger. And in this way, this is a picture of how the world plays fast and loose with the darkness and with the danger of sin. All the world actually acknowledges that sin is in association with darkness and not with light. Now, if you go through a town or a city and you drive along the road, you may go by what is called a nightclub. And you will notice something very interesting about a nightclub. There are never any windows to let any light in. If there are any windows, the windows are blocked over or boarded over. It's just a big building which is all enclosed. That there may be as the most, that might be the place of the darkness, not of the light. They don't want any daylight coming in whatsoever. Of course, you might say, well, it's a nightclub. Yes, but there is also, though, this picture of closing the windows. It's the darkness. They don't want the light. Yet after conversion, Christian believers are no longer known as children of the darkness, but children of the light. Not of the night, not of the darkness, but of the light. Something's changed, something's happened in our lives. Oh, friends, this evening, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you know something's very sad about your life? This is the testimony of your life. You are sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death. And this is a very solemn place to be in this evening, if that's where you are. Well, there came an awful realization to these men who were in the mine, in the darkness and the shadow of death. A terrible rock fall suddenly descended with all its noise and dust, and a terror brought with it an awful realization. They were trapped. And so it is with conviction of sin. How is it that your thinking is changed? How is it that you are brought to realize your condition by nature, that you are actually sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death? It seems so strange for us at this time of the year, doesn't it? This world is full of lights. There's Christmas tree lights, there's street lights, there's lights everywhere. And in many ways, it's a very pleasant and pleasing picture. But the reality of our hearts is that we are by nature sitting in the darkness and in the shadow of death. Now, these tentacles of darkness became more than a way of life with these miners. They were used to the darkness. They were always constantly working in the darkness, but they always felt they could get out of the darkness. When they come to the end of their shift, they'd come out of the darkness and into the light again. But after this rock fall, the darkness became the miners' biggest enemy. A solemn realization descended upon them, upon their situation. They cannot get themselves out of the pit of darkness. And so it is with us spiritually. The Holy Spirit brings to your mind an awful realization of your condition by nature. And this is called conviction of sin. It's an awesome experience when God reveals to us the truth of our darkness. The darkness of our sin becomes very real to us. It's something tangible. It's all-encompassing. We feel this guilt of sin. You know how it is for those of you who have lived in a city and you come into the countryside. Earlier on the year, when we had spent a little time living out in a little village called Bilsington, and it was tangible darkness. There were no street lights. And when it was dark, it was very dark. You could feel the darkness. And so it is when the Holy Spirit reveals to us something of what we're like within by nature. An awful realization, sitting in the darkness and the shadow of death. And then trapped. No amount of human effort could get these miners out of the mine. They couldn't get themselves out of the mine. They could move about, but they could not get out. And so it is with your life. You can move about with life. You can get on with life, but you, in a sense that you can walk about, but you cannot get out of this this state that you are by nature yourselves. And it was undoubtedly clear to the miners that in and of themselves, they were helpless to save themselves. Above anything else, their ultimate survival depended upon getting help from above. There was no help around them. The only help that could come was from above. And so the Lord has sent that light from above. The day spring on high hath visited us from heaven down to this earth. Oh, they knew that the families, though, would do all they could to help them come out of the mine, but they themselves depended upon others. They knew such a decision actually to help them so far down the earth would cost so much money, it would need the approval at the highest level. Actually, it was the president that authorized a no-expense-spared mission to rescue the miners. And when we are convicted of our sin, and we feel the burden of the darkness, and we know that we're trapped, there comes the realization that the help must come from above. It must come from the very top. It must come from God, the highest. Glory to God in the highest. We have to go to the very highest. We have to go by faith to God. It's God who must authorize the rescue mission. It was God that must, in his sovereign grace, rescue me to give me light as I sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death. And so we have this realization that we are in the darkness, that we are trapped, that we are helpless to save ourselves, and that a help for deliverance must come to us only from above. And it must come from the highest, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that has come to give light to those who sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death. Well, it says here, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Oh, he's come to guide us into the way of peace. Peace with God. Peace in our hearts. Oh, this rescue plan, it's a marvelous mission, a marvelous mission. Those rescue engineers worked together for the sole purpose of getting the men out of the mine. The thought, the ingenuity, the effort, the technology was incredible. The engineering feat of the drilling was amazing. And as the engineers had to design a way of getting down to the men, so God made a way to come down to us in the person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was a no-expense spared mission to save the lives of the miners. And so God gave himself. No expense spared. God could not have given more than himself than to come down as the Son of God, to come down and become a man that he might rescue us from the very pit of hell. Oh, the great rescue plan of salvation to save souls from hell was a no-expense-spared mission from God. God authorized the no-expense-spared mission to save us. And God took full responsibility for the cost himself. We have nothing to pay. God has freely given the way of salvation. Oh, this way of salvation, this marvelous mission, this rescue mission is so wonderful that even today in heaven, the angels marvel at it. There's nothing the angels like doing more than giving glory to God and to specifically focus on the wonders of the gospel, the wonders of God becoming a man, to receive sinful, rebellious men like you and women like you and like me. They marvel at it. They wonder at it. These are the things we read the angels desire to look into, this marvelous mission of God's mercy. Well, this rescue mission had to reach down to where the men were, as you know. Well, first, there was a small borehole that was drilled, and that was to bring hope to the men who were trapped. It brought a message of encouragement, of sustenance. Oh, we are making a way of escape for you. Help is on its way. Every effort is being made to rescue you. This is good news. Oh, how the men would have received that news. Oh, what encouragement it would have been to them, trapped in that mine, and then that drill hole was bored down, and a message was sent down the hole to them. They opened the message and read it. Oh, help is on its way. Someone up there cares for us and loves us so much. And in this way, it is like the way God has spoken to this world before Christ came to this world. That's what we read about in the Old Testament. There's a message. The Messiah is coming. There's hope. And more promises come down the tube of prophecy to fulfill, to foretell a sure and certain rescue for sinners. Oh, as you go through the prophets, you will see time and time and time again, messages are sent down this tube, as it were, to needy sinners through the word of God, that in due time a Messiah is coming. Jesus Christ is going to come down to where we are and to rescue us. Interestingly, when faced with such a situation, the men, the miners, requested that Bibles were sent down to them in this tube, this little tube. Despite all the messages of encouragement, they needed above all a message from God. And that is like it is for us. When we are faced with the reality of the darkness, or when we are faced with the reality of death, however much encouragement people might give us, however much that might help us and comfort us, we need a message from God, from His Word, the Bible, because that is the only true Word to us that we can be absolutely sure upon and we can rely upon. Well, this rescue mission came down to where these men were, to give light to them that sit in the darkness. And the mighty drill bored a hole, the great big drill, 600 meters down to exactly where the men were so as to reach them. But then it needed a very brave rescuer to descend into the darkness, down that hole, down that borehole, to oversee and guide the men into the capsule. Now that man who descended down into that mine where they were trapped, that man, that brave man, had to endure the same conditions as the man down in trapped in the mine. He had to endure the heat, the smell, the danger, the darkness. But he was willing to do it. He was a very courageous man. He went down in that capsule and he guided the men. He told the men what they had to do. And so it was that Jesus Christ came down to this earth to where we are to reach us, the almighty deliverer of sinners. He came as the light of the world to those that sat in the darkness to guide us into the way of peace. Oh, think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come from glory in heaven above down to this sin-sick world and to suffer, bleed and die, to endure temptation, to endure afflictions. He was a person that was in all our affliction. He was afflicted. He came down to where we are. But then it was a rescue mission that required total obedience. The man had to obey the instructions. They had to enter the capsule or be left behind to die in the mine. The capsule was the only means of escape. And to live, the man had to enter the capsule in the guided way. They had to obey exactly what the rescue was saying to them. To be saved, the miners must get into that capsule that was let down the borehole. And to be saved, you must get into God's rescue capsule. This means repenting of your sin, your rebellion, your independence, acknowledging your helpless condition. It means humbling yourselves. It means putting all your trust in Jesus Christ. There was nothing else the men could do to save themselves but simply obediently get into the capsule. The use of the capsule was free. They didn't even have to say, well, my next year's wages are put towards my rescue if you'll only let me get in the capsule. No, they could enter that capsule free. but their whole being must be in the capsule. So it is with salvation. There is only one way. There is only one capsule of rescue. One way that leads us back to the top. And they had to accept the means provided. They had to trust the way of deliverance that had come down to them totally and utterly. And the rescue mission was very personal to each man. Each man was invited as a person to enter into the capsule one at a time. Each rescue was personal. And so it is with salvation. God gives a personal call. Each rescue is a personal rescue. Each one requires God's and has God's special attention. When each miner reached the surface, they were met by the president of Chile. He was personally involved. So it is that God is personally involved. He invites us and welcomes us to come to him in Christ Jesus the Lord. But we have to get into God's capsule. We can't be lifted out of this darkness any other way than God's way, in and through the person of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this rescue mission of good news plays great value upon human life. And this is what resonated with the world's emotions, whereupon 1 billion people watched this rescue effort on television. Because here was a rescue attempt that was placing great value upon life. In a world of hate and a world of terror and a world of uncertainty, here was a good news story, inasmuch that the world longed, really deep down, for value to be placed upon life. Well, there is not a greater rescue action placing value on human life than by God coming in the person of Jesus Christ the Savior. To give light to them that sit in the darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. But then the rescue mission had the fruit of rejoicing and thanksgiving. When each miner reached the surface, there was joy and gratitude to the rescue team. One of the most moving pictures was an elderly man who was rescued. He had worked in a mine for 50 years. Above all, he valued the true meaning of his escape. It was a miracle for him in his understanding. And the first thing he did when he got out of that capsule up in the top of the mine was to fall on his knees in prayer. And so it is when we come by faith to Jesus Christ as our Savior and we're saved from our sin, there is much cause for thanksgiving. People on the surface around the mine rejoice. The world rejoiced at this rescue mission. And so the angels in heaven rejoiced when Christ came to this world to save sinners. And the angels in heaven rejoice even now over one sinner that repents. And so this 21st century parable so beautifully links in with this verse 79 that we have by way of text. It reminds us of the solemnity of facing the end of our life. In the darkness, one man, one miner said, "I did battle with the devil and by faith took hold of the hand of God." Important men above the mine acknowledged that it was a miracle opening up before their eyes. A miracle that men survived so long in the darkness. A miracle they managed to reach them. A miracle they came out alive. Many true words were spoken in a time of danger and vulnerability and distress. But here is the greatest message. The greatest rescue mission. The greatest deliverance from darkness. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.